the Chaber Echa Shabbos. What does that mean? A person is supposed to try his best in the Chaber Echa Shabbos. The Chaber Echa Shabbos means to honor the Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says at the very beginning that there's a pasuk which talks about Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. The Karasol HaShabbos Oneg. What this in Kavod and Oneg, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say, but just briefly the Vilna Gaon explains that Kavod is you preparing on Friday for Shabbos and Oneg is enjoying it on Shabbos. And then there are different Mamari Chazal, the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here. A person should try to see to it that he has enough food. What does it mean? I say Shabbat Kachol Vastarach Lavrios. Doesn't mean what someone once said in America. He went to work on Shabbat. Hashem Shabbat Kachol Vastarach Lavrios. That's not what it means. That's what it doesn't mean. So much as make a mistake that was made in New York all those many decades ago. Okay. So there's all kinds of problems. The truth is, I don't want to spend too much time on this because Baruch Hashem in this country, everyone has enough to eat the Shabbos, and we should try to be mahana the Shabbos as much as we can. More than that, the Mishnah Berurah calls it in. You don't lose any money on the deal. Both the Gemara and the Sefer. And there's an also Shalom Ketubah Shalom Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, except for Otsal Shabbos Yontif. So whatever you spend on Shabbos Yontif, it's like an expense account. You give it a certain salary, X dollars. You have an expense account. The expense account is whatever you spend on Shabbat, you know, you spend the money. You lose nothing. That's what it says in the Gemara. Okay. Then there's a minig of the Ramah to lead a certain amount of dough to the which is type of Kala on Shabbat. We cover Shabbat. The other is the aimless shanos. The problem is that most people today buy Kala from the bakery. Now, some people say it's also not right. You should bake your own Kala. But that's easy for a man to say, but why just play when they go on college, you know, the joke and all the other things. So therefore, I don't buy that. We buy college, we don't buy the kumra. Okay, every country has its own different way to do kumra. That's Reishman Bey. Reishman Dallas talks about telling a guy to do malacha before Shabbat. He tells him to do it before Shabbat, and he does it on Shabbat. So there's certain cases in which it's mutter, and certain cases in which it's also. Basically, to give you the general principles, you're not permitted to tell a goy to do malacha on Shabbos. So, tell him, even on Friday, you can't take it on Friday, Mr. Goy, you do malacha for me on Shabbos. It's not allowed. It's called an Isra of Amir Lenochri. And therefore, you can't hire someone if you're telling him explicitly to do the work on Shabbos, but he's being paid by the hour, and one of the hours that's on this punching sheet is Shabbos, the noon of Friday night, not allowed. It's a meal enough. He's having to work for you on Shabbos. Not allowed. If, however, he's doing something at his own pace, we call it a cobbler, you finish the job. Whenever you want. Work Saturday, work Sunday, work Wednesday. I don't care when you work. That's mutter. Meikir adin. That is a problem we call maritayin. Maritayin. Maritayin means that a person will interpret what's happening as if the Jew told him to do the work on Shabbos in particular, which is not allowed. So there's certain things which are prohibited because of Maritayin, and some things are not prohibited because of Maritayin. It's partially dependent upon what the custom of that particular country and time is. It's normally done with the call of a serial. Someone paid by the hour, by the day, would be prohibited because of Maritayin. It's ordinarily done with what we call the Kablonot, which means that you just do it whenever you please. There should be no prohibition of Maritayin. However, there are certain cases in which we say that the malachas are done to karka, which are done with respect to things on the ground, is we're even more machmir. We're more machmir. So these are many different thoughts, and these things can happen all the time. So you can get cars to fix before Shabbos. So the Talmud can say, yes, you're not supposed to do it on Shabbos. You give the car on Friday, and he can fix it for you Friday afternoon, he can fix it for you Saturday night, he can fix it for you on Sunday, fix it for you. You'll pick it up whenever you pick it up. That'll be permissible. These are not Maritayin, because most of these Yiddish cars, well known, these stations are usually at the actual place where the Jews are walking on Shabbos. So that's why there's some post to make on these matters. Most machmir, as I said before, when it comes to karka, people shouldn't paint your house on Shabbos. You should not live in there. People shouldn't do your gardening if you want Shabbos. You know, there's a garden that comes on Shabbos and starts to, do all kinds of work. Not right. It's a Maris Ayin. And again, we're more mach when it comes to Kaka than we always expect from the top. That's Reish Mem Dal. Reish Mem Tes. You're not supposed to go on Arab Shabbos more than three parsos. All right? Why? Because you arrive in plenty of time. Three parsos is 12 mils, about 12 kilometers. What is it, about 7 miles. Can you imagine that? Everybody goes more than 7 miles. That's where you go. It's Queens, you go more than 7 miles. But the answer is, it all depends on the circumstance. But the bottom line is, I want to use as an opportunity to give a view as a chizuk. Don't leave too late on Friday after wherever you go. I don't care if you're going to people have gotten stuck on the way on Friday afternoon with disastrous results. Now that it's in the Chal Shabbos, it's because you want to get to someone's house. So you have to find a way at Eitzah. What do? You abandon your car and you walk to the nearest Jewish community. That's all. In most cases, it's not because of nefesh. You lose your car. Your car will be stolen. Welcome to the club. You can't be Machal Shabbos to save the car. If you get stuck on the side of, some of the highway just closes down. Stop, close. And it's Friday afternoon, you can't move anywhere. Close. So what do you do? What are you doing here?
Hold on
a second. You can already give it to him. That's right. So leave the door open even better. We can get some more fresh air. Just put your chair in the doorway. You abandon the car. Most highways have, between. Many highways. I mean, a shoulder on the side or in between. Just leave the car there. It won't be there. It won't be there. Shabbos is more important than a car. You should realize this. The Iker is not to cut so close. They're daredevils. All right. I figured I could make it with an hour to spare. But you weren't thinking about traffic and about an accident and about snow and about this. This is a good opportunity to be mechazik and that Indian of not leaving plenty of time before Shabbos. There's all kinds of horrors, people go to the Catskills in the summertime, and they get traffic, and there is that. Don't play it so close. Okay, on the Siv Beis, also the Gvar there, Shabbat Sudo Mishnah, Shere Rabbi Meachol. You should have a special dinner that you wouldn't have normally in a week, but you shouldn't have it on Friday, Bechlau. And they call it a Shabbat. They should call it a Shabbat Sutoy Blechol. The whole day, even in the morning, shouldn't have a special meal. What if the bris? Bris is mutter, because that's not grown. After the bris, you can't dispose of some other time. So I'd have a Sudas bris meal on Friday morning. But Mishnah Berurah is the fish. Bris meal pigeon aban is mutter. Alright? That's the answer. Lecho velishot veli kvi yasuda, atila suda shirogla v'chol, koleyom mutlasam and adin. Now, some people say, well, not the only reason, that's the beginning of Avet Safin. I mean, Iker did it mutter all the time. But, mitzvah, ideally, the imana mi l'kvo, the suda, shenong, wa v'chol, the teisha shos ulemala. What teisha shos manias, which means when it's one quarter of the day left. So in the winter, that's a short period of time. Let's figure out now. The sun sets around 4:30, right? And the day is a pretty short day, so what's one quarter of the day there now? 2 hours and change? Yeah, less than that. 40-something minutes. Right, so the kids are from 2:30 and on, you shouldn't eat a regular meal. There's a mitzvah in a mufka. Derech HaShem, my son, it's Anos B'chol Erev Shabbos. To fast. Some parts of fast, that's not right. It's against the Gemara. Well, you can't have the Shabbos from the Unet. You shouldn't eat too much. You shouldn't eat too much. In the case of a person who's mekabel upon himself to fast on Friday. We only have one fast on Friday. That's Sarah Batavis, which can come out on Friday. And we fast the whole day. Of course, Sarah Batavis is so short in this country, it's not a problem. But you're in Australia, it's peak of the summer. So they told me that the rebels in Australia told me that they had certain coolers in the rabbonim there. Not to be mashal the tainus, I don't know what that means. I look in the small print here, it doesn't sound like that to me. Yes, Shalom, the Lo Yashlim. Doesn't mean you can just stop at 12 o'clock. It means you can have a Kabbalah Shabbos early, clock of Menchan on, some people say. But for us, we live in the Northern Hemisphere. We stay up the whole day without a problem on time for the Tavis. Sometimes a yard site on a Friday. You have a minute of fasting on the yard site, on the Gemara. That's the whole question of what to do. And Mr. Wood talks about it. He says, look, if you fasted once on a Friday, it's like a neder, you should fast the rest of the time, have a Torah Sadarim. Perhaps it's better not to fast in the first place, but not to makabal yourself on a Friday. Different minhag. So wake up early in the morning to prepare Reish Nun, the Torah Shabbos. Even if you have many avodim, gentlemen. If you have many avodim, you should still do it yourself, as we must do in the Kiddushin, the Amaroim, who will build them as freedom than you are. They would chop wood, and they would light the fire, and they would cut the vegetables, and they would take care of the fish, and they would sweep the floor, and do all the good things. Okay? This is your cover to be Makabit Shabbat. They got the garbage, you know, whatever you're called upon to do. And Yadra, the most of the Yadra McDonald's could be a chalto. As we mentioned before, you should have a good food for Shabbat. More than that, the Reish Nun Aleph were taught that from Chatzos and on, you really shouldn't be doing malacha. I mean, you shouldn't be turning on lights. You shouldn't be malacha. You shouldn't be in the office. You shouldn't be in your office after 12 o'clock or whatever Chatzos is, 1 o'clock in the summertime when they move the clock. After Chatzos, Mincha Gedola, 1:30, 12:30. Some say Mincha Ktana. All right. Mincha Ktana is much later. But certainly, for Mincha Ktana, you should be out of the office and again to make sure you get home on time. You know, my son. Okay, but work which is not going to work, but which is malacha necessary to prepare the Shabbat, such as to fix your clothing, this is certainly mutter on Friday. You take a haircut on Friday, the whole day, and look at this, guys. Yesh la'adam l'mayt milimudo be'erav Shabbos v'sheyochem tzorkei Shabbos. You don't even stop learning a little bit less learning on Friday to prepare for Shabbos. And I was always talking about 3 days. There's no Seder, no Shia, no nothing. That's the time that they think they feel like preparing for Shabbos. I guess that's what they figure. All right. No comment. All right. Now, a person is permitted to start the Reish Nun days and start Malacha on Erev Shabbos before it gets dark, even though it's going to go into Shabbos. That's the Machlokes B'Shamah Mitzilo. We pass in, as long as you do yours before Shabbos, if it goes on by itself into Shabbos, it's okay. It goes to various examples of dyeing clothes, things of this nature. Putting out traps, selling wares to a guy. You can give your garments to a cleaner, on Friday, even if it's Friday afternoon, but you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos. And the guy should be doing it in the guy's house, not in the Jew's house. But if it's mefurus, as I said before, if it's famous, that it's a Jew's malacha, and he's doing it in the famous in a public place, hold the hachamir v'lesa. Should be more careful about it. All right. Similarly, a person may open up the water, which is irrigating a garden. You open up the pipe before Shabbos, and it keeps working on the entire Shabbos for the same reason we mentioned before. As long as you do things before Shabbos, it may continue on Shabbos. So strictly speaking, it would probably be permissible to have these sprinkler systems which work on a timer to go on Shabbos, strictly speaking. But I don't recommend it. Because people, if you're having it, and you're so used to it being on a timer, they're thinking, it's the way to do it, or you did it. It's a question of maritime. Then a person may put wheat into a mill of water before Shabbos, and you put a whole pile of wheat, and then it grinds with the water mill on Shabbos. So the Ramah, lo chashinu la'atshmo ha'kol, shiom ha'rechayim shal tzlomim ha'tokonos b'Shabbos. V'yesh olchun b'rechayim b'chol mokom shesh lo'chon shashmo ha'kol, but the Gemara called Av Shamilsa, Vachinol Mechatzilah. Ideally, so we assume. But a Zeger, which is of course a clock, they have these, you know, these grandfather clocks, they allow them set up before Shabbos, even though it makes noise on the hour, ding, ding. There's no matter of time. Everybody knows that a grandfather clock is set for days, weeks, or months on end, and there's not going to be a problem of maritime, and there's no ashamilsa in that case as well. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. This could be relevant to other cases, microphones and everything, but we won't go into that now. A person shouldn't go out on a Friday afternoon with certain things in his hands, or because Shema Yishkach V'yotzi, as we say in Friday evening in the davening. And we say further, mitzvah b'mashkash adam b'keila b'erev Shabbos semel chashecha shalayim b'amdava sh'os l'asla b'shabbos. Right, we should say this all the time. And Shabbos as well, you should always check your pockets to make sure there's nothing there if there's no Erev in town. Okay. With this, Rabban, we conclude the easy part of today's Chazar. This sort of general assorted dinim, which we're supposed to include Reish and Beis. Now, Reish and Gimel is a whole different story. We have to now go much more slowly because this is a really serious sinus, and we spent a lot of time on this sinus. This is very much Lamaisa. We'll try to give as clear a summary as we can, but I'm telling you in advance, it's not complete. Mishnah Brurah is a beautiful Akdama. Beautiful Akdama. It's a Reish and Gimel. He tells us that there are really two prohibitions, Yeshi'in and Shehiyah of Inyan Chazara, or Hafzara. What Shehiyah mean? The rabbis prohibit us to leave a pot on the fire on Friday afternoon, which will then go and cook it, become cooked on Shabbat. Now, it's going to contradict what we just said until now. So now we said that you're allowed to do a malacha on Friday, which goes by itself into Shabbat. The answer is, here we're talking about a gzeir midirabonim. The Chazal were afraid that they will allow you to leave a pot on the open fire before Shabbos. What you're going to do is because you're in a rush to have the cooking completed earlier, so you can serve the food earlier. So you're afraid that you're going to stoke the coals on Shabbos. It's called Shema Yechata Begecholim. So in order to prevent you from stoking coals on Shabbos, the rabbis introduced a prohibition called Shehiyah, so you're not permitted to leave a pot of food on an open fire before Shabbos, Zeira Shema Yechata Begecholim, because you may stoke the coals on Shabbos. Therefore, a person wants to put a pot of food on an open fire today, on Friday afternoon, we assume it is prohibited. Why? We don't have any coals in our fire. So the answer is we assume that we'll do the equivalent of stoking the coals on Shabbos. What's our equivalent of stoking the coals on Shabbos? Turning up the flame. It's true that Moshe now has a story in one of his shuvahs, and it was Moshe. Maybe you can't compare the two. The Gemara never says that Zera Shema Yavi Yoser Eitzin. You're afraid to bring more wood? Raising the fire is like adding more wood. We don't find such a Zera, and if we don't find such a Zera, why should we prohibit something on our own? The Mesh suggests that. But he doesn't accept the halacha. I think all poskim in the world, although they have this Yavid kind of thing, they don't agree with the Sra Lechachila. And therefore they assume that the Gzeir of Shem Yechad and Begecholim applies not only to stoking coals, which used to take place in the old days, but to the possibility of raising the flame in our days. Okay? Is that clear? Now, so what do you do about it? What do you do about it? What you do about it is as follows. You cover the fire. You cover the fire. How do you cover the fire? So we, generally speaking, we assume the proper covering what we call, in our language, a blech. A blech is simply a metal covering which covers the fire. By covering the fire, there's no possibility, or it's possible, but it's not likely, that you chad the begatol. Because you'll see the covering, which is usually not there, is called a heker, something which is a special recognition. You should not make a mistake and soak the coals, i.e. raise the fire. So what must be covered? Mr. Brewer is talking about his old standard oven, so he says cover the fire. What about nowadays? Nowadays we have a dial which is used to raise or lower the flame. So what makes you cover? The fire or the dial? What would you say? Oh, that's to play it safe. Somehow they have this crooked left. It goes like this, then it goes down. It covers the fire and it also covers the the handles. Well, then you can't lose. But if which one really is it really? That's the machlokus, the gedolei apostim of a generation ago. Rav Moshe Zal, if a roll folks will say, you have to cover the fire. Period. Kach tikkun chazal. Doesn't matter whether you would raise the flame with the by this way or that way. That's irrelevant. You have to follow the gedolei chazal as they did it. Basically, you have to cover the fire. To cover the fire. Rabban Kutler quoted it saying the other way around. But the key is covering the handle, so that's the way we adjust our fire. But again, and once again, the overwhelming majority of people agree with Rav Moshe. You want to cover both? My problem, I know him. But the main thing we pass is to cover the fire itself. If you cover the fire itself, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, that you may put something on this fire just before Shabbos. I don't recommend this, but if you forget, you can put it on the fire, on the covered fire just before Shabbos, because once the fire is covered, you're not going to cover the Mechatzim to get fallen. Okay? This is the prohibition of Shehiyah, which is an easy remedy. Cover the fire. What if you don't want to cover the fire for whatever reason? You have nothing to cover the fire with? How do you overcome the problem of Shehiyah? Here's a major dispute in the Tanoim and in the Rishonim and two views in the Mechaber himself, the Reish of Gibel, to follow. According to the first view, you're not allowed to leave something on an open fire, as the Mechaber says over here in the first page. Elam came it's bashal called sarko with mistamek viralo. Not only is it cooked, but it's overcooked. It's so well cooked that additional stoking of the coals is going to cause it to become inferior. Mistamek viralo. So there's no chance, or much less of a chance. You're going to soak the coals on Shabbos, and by soaking the coals, you're going to overcook it and make it dry out. So that kind of a situation, the Zayir was never made. This is the first view of the Mechaber, which we call the view of the Rabbonim. The view of the Rabbonim. The second view of in the Shulchan Aruch, towards the end of the Sif Aleph, takes quite a while till you get to that. The Yesh Omrim, four pages later, has caution is Basha Kamachal Ben Derusoi. Then it's okay. You leave it on an open flame. What Machal Ben, this is the opinion of Chananya, which Tosfos follows. And the Ramoy is the most important four words over here. V'no'agu l'hokel k'svara akrona. Minik Ashkenaz, to follow Tosfos, following Chananya, that once it's cooked Kamachal Ben Derusoi, you don't even breath. What's Machal Ben Derusoi? It's again a dispute. Half cooked or a third cooked. How do you measure half or a third? They measure on the clock. Folks can say you wait until the time that it reaches the minimal heat level, which is called Yad Soled as well, two hours to touch. And then it takes 3 hours to cook after that, for argument's sake. According to Rashi, after 1 hour it's considered Machal Ben Derusoi, one third of the Bishul. And according to the Rambam, an hour and a half, which is half the size of the time of the Bishul. You don't have to measure it with time. There's no other way to measure it. This is what the Post can say. So if you want to put something on an open fire, which is you have to have it cooked at least halfway before Shabbos comes in. Even so, if you're Sephardi, I would not recommend it, because the Mechaber 2 days and doesn't decide which is right. If you're Ashkenazi, you found in the Garama, I would recommend it. I have to tell you that even this recommendation is not unanimously accepted, because the Bir Halacha suggests that the Kota Rosh, that she's Yisrael Adukim B'mitzvot on Shabbos U'bevada lo Yishvul Ono Alkein HaNakwehem. Let him be. That's less than a ringing endorsement of the opinion of Chananya, I would say. So if you follow this to be halacha, then you really shouldn't accept this view. It's B'nai Torah, B'nai Yeshiva, Tamidei Chacham. If you look in the Chazanish and other sources, it's not true. We talk like Chananya, period. Not because of Hanakla. Talk like Chananya. Because that's how the Kroli and Arog all according to the Bali Atar. They say the Ferish and Shabbos. That's the most possible. So against this B'nai halacha. And therefore, even the Chachila, I think, is permissible to leave something on an open fire as long as it is more than half cooked before Shabbos. So you'll say, well, what's the big deal? Just put a black on. What am I giving coolers over here for? Just put a black. What's the big deal? Well, some gizmos that we have do not lend themselves so easily to a bluff. The bluff can have a negative impact on the source of heat, and therefore the people who don't want to use a bluff. I'll give an example. A crock pot, or its equivalent, the slow cookers. So it's very hard to put a blech, let's say a one-piece crock pot. Well, where are you going to put a blech? What are you going to do? It's blech has to be between the fire and the pot. You can't do that because the fire and the pot is one. Impossible. Huh? Put a blech where? If you put it in, if it's a one-piece crock pot, I don't know if that counts as a blech. In other words, the blech has to be between the... Well, I guess the Rabbi Akiva will discount. You consider that. What if I put a blech between the pot and the food? That's also a blech. The chiddush. The blech we have in the Gemara is that the fire is covered. The fire is covered between the fire and the pot, not between the pot and the food. But I don't know. I guess someone just says it's okay, so I'm also accepted. But it's not touched that way. So therefore, if you're using such a device, you'd want to have the food half cooked before Shabbos comes in. Okay? This is the issue of Shehiyah. The issue of Shehiyah is very easily eliminated by using a blech. If you're not using a blech for whatever technical reason, then you have to have, according to the Minhag Ashkenaz, you have to make sure the food is at least half cooked before Shabbos comes in. Everybody with me so far? This is the easy part of the system. This is the issue of Shehiyah. There's a much more complicated matter. It's called Chazara or Hachzara. That is the turning a pot to an open flame on Shabbos. To return a pot to an open flame on Shabbos is a Hachzara, which is an absolute prohibition. The Chazal prohibited it. And no ands, ifs, or buts. Prohibited. End of story. You may not return food to an open fire on Shabbos. Not allowed. Not allowed. An open fire. But it's completely prohibited. I'm discussing for the moment directly on top of that fire. Let's discuss a simple case. Now, the question, of course, becomes why? Why? Why is it prohibited? Here's a major dispute, which is quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch. A little bit in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, to go a little bit out of order, in Sif Hei, in the same Sif, in the Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Hei, that I'll read it to you. You mut the lotet al pi kedera stamen b'shabbos tapshol shen izbashol meir of Shabbos kol tzarko. If it was cooked fully on, let's not forget, you know, gentlemen, in our zeal to go into the specifics and particulars of the Eitzah of Shehiyah and Achzara, we shouldn't forget about one thing. It's an Eitzah Bishul Min HaTorah. It's not in this Ambat, some subsequent Sinna, the Shehiyah Kress, but the Eitzah exists anyway, even though it's not in this Bechir. It's an Eitzah Bishul D'Oraita. So whenever there's an Eitzah Bishul D'Oraita, there's nothing to talk about. All discussion when there's no Eitzah Bishul D'Oraita, which for us, we're not going to go into all the problems, for us, the need was Mavushal called Tzarko, it's fully cooked from before Shabbos. So the Chavis said that it's fully cooked before Shabbos, you're not permitted to put it on an open fire. But what you may do is to put it, quote, Al Pi Kederas Chamin B'Shabbos. I have a pot full of soup, and I want to heat up some kugel, so I'll put the kugel on top of the pot full of soup. Why? Why is that allowed? Since you put out full five words. Lefi, She'ein, Derech, Bishul, Bekach. Is that the normal fashion of Bishul? Says the Mishnah Berurah explaining this. Why is Hachzara prohibited? Why is Hachzara prohibited? That's because the Nirekim of Ashul B'Shabbat. The Derech Bishul Bekach. It looks like Bishul. Not really Bishul, it's very close. But Hachzara Derech Bishul Bekach. And therefore it is a Nirekim of Ashul. And therefore it is permissible. We see in passing that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber held that the reason why Hachzara is prohibited is why? Nirek and Mevasha. Indeed, the Mishnah Berurah earlier in Sif Aleph says that it If you fall off zero b'shabbes, mirzik kimavashel im ena grufa. If it's an uncovered flame, it's mirzik kimavashel. It looks like cooking. Oh, but the Shulchan Aruch said if it doesn't look like cooking, then it's not permissible. And the small print on the bottom of the Sharatiyah, he quotes the Sefer HaYosha, who says, no. The reason why HaChazorah is prohibited on an open fire is because of Shema Yechata Begachol. You may stoke the coal when you put it back on the fire. Now wait a minute. We said before that according to Hananya, that we Ashkenazim to follow, once the food has reached the level of Machal Bedrusoy, which is half cooked, there's no longer a fear of Shema Yechata Begachol. That's why I'm not leaving it on an open fire. So the question becomes, so why can't we return it to an open fire by the same logic? So for your information, if it's half cooked, there's no way we can return it to an open fire. Because we passed in Halacha Shulchan Aruch and Shinyan Ches that it would be a case of Bishul Daraisa. The Machlokes in the Rishonim, we have a principle called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Once it's already cooked, you can't cook it again. How much must it be cooked the first time so that there's no prohibition of continuing the bishul? Some say it's Machal Ben Zuzor is enough. Half cooked before Shabbos, you can finish it up on Shabbos. But we pass to the Chumrah that it's not permissible to put something on the fire on Shabbos unless it is fully cooked before Shabbos. All right? So if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, why can't we put it on an open flame? Why are we worried about Shem Yechata? We got the same before. If it's a half cooked, there's no Shem Yechata. So the answer that the Talmud gives is no. Here, Shenot Lumina Eish. If I removed it from the fire, it's very possible that while I removed it from the fire, it's cooled off significantly. And once it cools off and I put it back on the fire, we're afraid that I'm going to soak the coals to get it heat up again. And that fear is more likely. The possibility is more likely that I'm going to soak the coals on Shabbos in the case in which he had removed the pot from the open fire, as opposed to a case in which he had left it on the open fire from before Shabbos. So therefore, if he left it on the open fire before Shabbos and it's half cooked before Shabbos, we're not afraid he's going to soak the coal. Look, he put it there, he'll leave it there, it'll be okay. He's not going to soak the coal. But if he removed it from the fire, he puts it back on the fire, with a greater chashash, with a greater chance he may soak the coal. This is prohibited, according to the Rabbeinu Tam's understanding. So let's review. Is it common to put leaving something on the fire before Shabbos Kol Shehiya? The prohibition is because of Shem Yechata Begachol. As far as the issue of returning something to an open fire on Shabbos, it's called Hachazara. The Machlokes is why is it also? According to Shulchan Aruch, it's also because of Nirikim Mevashim. And if it's not Nirikim Mevashim, it's called Kedera Agave Kedera. He puts a piece of kugel on top of a pot full of chicken soup. It would be permissible. However, according to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam, we would say that it's prohibited to do achzara. Why? Because of the gzeira shema yachata begacholim. And since he removes it from the fire and returns it, we make this gzeira even in a case in which it is half cooked, as opposed to shahiya. And therefore, the halacha is that achzara would be prohibited on an open fire, even if it's half cooked, even if it's fully cooked. This is the halacha of achzara. Okay, is it clear? There are two reasons given. Very important to understand these two reasons, because without the two reasons, we can't really fully explain many of the other dinim which exist. Let me skip a little bit. We'll have to come back to the particulars. Consideration on Gimel, Sif Gimel, the final up is found. A person wakes up in the morning and they see that his shawl is burning. Amashkin Baboke Varosh Ikdicha Tashilo. The Rosh Penyadiyak Yoter. You're afraid his shawl will burn even more. What do you do? You say, take it off the fire. Take it off the fire, by the time I come off the shawl, it'll be cold. So leave it on the fire, it'll be burned. I can't take it, I can't leave it, so I'm stuck. What do the shawl? What do you do? Yochol lahosil laniach kedera yishana reikonis al diakira. What you can do is, you can show it directly on the fire. Pick it up, put an inverted pan on the fire, and then put the pot of shol back on top of the inverted pan. Because there was a piece of metal intervening between the fire and the shol pot, and even quite a bit of air underneath the pan that this is inverted. So therefore the fire will not burn the shol. A great idea. But then the Shulchan Aruch adds a very important phrase. V'yizoyer shlo yosim kidei roso agave karka. Don't put the pot of shol on the ground. Once you put the pot of shol on the ground, you can no longer return it on top of the inverted pan. Where does this come from? So the Shulchan Aruch has said in Siv Beis that there is a permissibility to do hachazara onto a covered fire. We mentioned before, hachazara onto an open fire is prohibited, period. But hachazara onto a covered fire is permissible. Kira grufa ktuma. It's mutal achzira. Okay? But there are a number of conditions. One of them is the Shulchan Aruch and Glowi Nicha Agave Karka. You can't put it on the floor and then pick it up again and put it on the covered flame. And the question is, why not? What's wrong with this? So I put it on the ground. Who cares? What's the logic behind it? What's the logic behind this halakha that once you put it on the floor, you can no longer return it to the fire on Shabbos? So the answer is, I have to call the Mishnah Brewery and to Klutton and hey, you put it down, it's no good. Why? Because if you put it down, Vatla la Shehiya Rishona, the first, how should I say it, placement of the pot on the fire is bottle is canceled. When you put it back on the fire, it's not a returning something. So rather have like emotion lachatchila agavi akira shab. This is what the Mishnah Brewer says. You're not allowed to put it for the first time on Shabbos on an open on even a covered fire. Why? And he repeats again, Nirek Imavasha Lakatil with the Shabbos. And it is from Nirek Imavasha. What does Nirek Imavasha mean? It looks like cooking. Now you notice the Mishnah Brewer himself, who had paskin earlier, at least in the Mishnah Brewer on top, not in the small, but on the bottom, that Achzorit is also because of Nirekim Mevasho. So this is what's called Hanokha Lechatchila, is also prohibited because of Nirekim Mevasho. Keep all this, we'll come back to this in a few minutes. Let's have a review, gentlemen. There are now three prohibitions. We keep getting more and more prohibitions. We started off at Shehiyah. At Shehiyah we said, it's us because of Shem Yechad and Begakolah. Then we went to Achzorah. And Achzorah is prohibited. Why? Two opinions. According to one opinion, because of Nirekim and Rasha. According to another opinion, because of Shem Yechad and Begakolah squared. Because if you took it off the fire, there's even a greater chance that you're going to soak the coals and you put it back and cool off in the interim. What about a third interim? Called Hanokha Lechatchila. Here the Mishnah Brewer says only one reason. Nirek and Mevasha Lechatchila B'Shabbat. He doesn't quote an opposing view which says it's because of Shem Yechata B'Gachol. And presumably the reason for this is that the fire is covered. If the fire is covered, presumably we're not worried about it in a total cold. It's not close to Mishnah. In fact, but this is the Mishnah Brewer, so it seems. Okay? Good. Given this background, there are three distinct prohibitions. There is Shehiya, there is Hafzara, and there is Meiniach Lechatchila. We have to now turn our attention to the various specifics. So Shehiya, we know, Shem Yechad Begakol. Hafzara, to dispute, is it Shem Yechad Begakol, all because of Nirek and Mevasho? And Hanocha Lechatchila is also a dispute, but La'alocha, we seem to accept the view that it's an Erech HaMevashel B'Shabbos. And the reasons why it's one Erech HaMevashel is obvious. If I took that off and put it right back again, well, it's not so much an Erech HaMevashel, it's just for toting it. But if I put it down on the floor, or today, I mean to put it in the freezer 3 months ago, and I take it out on Shabbos, it looks like it's on from scratch, it's an Erech HaMevashel B'Shabbos. Yes, sir.
Ah,
is it only kaka? There's only the floor? So first of all, the Ramah says you have to keep it, hold it in your hand. Oda v'yada. Saka the Ramah, the Shalom, the Gemara, Shabbos, Lava, Chesed, the Beis. He requires that you have to hold it in your hand. Many folks can say, well, not all, that you don't have to hold it in your hand suspended. You put it down on a counter and you don't let go of the handle, that's also considered to be in your hand. That's what we follow the halacha. But not everyone agrees to that. But that's what we assume. Okay, so we require actually older the other. Okay, meaning Ashkenaz, the Machmir. Svarzim, who follow the Machaber, they say, well, Nicha, Dabe Kaka, doesn't require it to be in your hand. Presumably they would be making it if it's not on the floor, but the pashtus is floor's up out. You put it back on the refrigerator, that's worse than the floor. What's so special about the floor? Why is the floor different than a table? It's colder, it's more removed. I would say refrigerator is worse than the floor. Because it's much certainly colder, and it's more removed from the fire. It's hot and cold, literally. So I would say refrigerator is even more strict, more common than the floor itself. Okay? Good. So far, so good. Oh. Given this, we can now see something very interesting. There seems to be a big, big problem, a contradiction between Sif Gimel and Sif Hei. I read you both Sifim, and now you should have noticed on your own the contradiction. It's based by the Bir Halach himself, especially on the syllabus. Then in Sif Gimel, the Machaber says, if you're covering the flame with an inverted pan, you're covering the flame with an inverted pan, and you want to put the there back on it when the chalk is burning on Shabbos morning, you have to make sure not to put it down. You put it down, finish. But in Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch seemed to say that I can take a pot of some kugel and put it on top of a pot full of chicken soup, no ands, no ifs, no buts. It could have come straight from the floor, straight from the fridge. With the contradiction between Sif Gimel and Sif Hei. I have a pot on the fire. Am I allowed to put something from the refrigerator directly on top of that pot? Sif Gimel says no, and Sif Hei says yes. How do you reconcile this apparent contradiction? Says what? No, that's not what it depends upon. The short answer is only one place. What's the answer? No. And Sif Hei does not have to have been on the fire. You can take something which is cooked on Erev Shabbos. It's cooked on Friday. It's put meanwhile in the refrigerator or on the floor, wherever it may have been. And it's permissible to put on a pot full of chicken soup. How do you understand? Yes. And if you put it on top of a inverted pan. Why? What's the difference? Can we be specific? Oh. Yehuda is saying the Valdik. He's giving the base to the B'alokas Teres, but he added a word which will be very important in another minute. The B'alokas is Kasha, and he quotes a beautiful Teres from the Prima Gardim. He quotes Kasha, he says, "Latasi the Prima Gardim, Sheyishiv Zu Akusha B'tuv Tah." What is that? Sif Hei, it's on top of a Tederes Kamino Tafshil, it's not considered on the fire at all, because presumably the pot is full of chicken soup. So we don't say that she's cooking chicken soup, because the pot is full. But here, it's a Kedera Rei Konis, it's simply an empty pan which is there only to limit the heat so the chum shouldn't burn. So you know what it becomes? Nasa Kirai Dezer Rakesha Kira Group of Tuma. It's what Soloveitchik used to call a crooked blast. When you have a an inverted can and you put it on the fire, so you made a blech. So the blech instead of going straight goes a little hump. It's only a blech. And on a blech, we already learned earlier, what's permissible on a blech? Only hapzara, only to return it when it's still in your hand. If you put it down on the floor, the butler shahir rishona, and now you're doing require enough of the chasila, it's prohibited on the blech. So he has the answer. The Bialach gave the answer. Yehuda amplified upon it. That in Sif Gimel was an empty pan. It's a blech, no more, no less. It's Sif Hay, where it's a full pot. So then we say it's permissible to put something from the refrigerator on top of the full pot on, as long as it's fully cooked and it's dry, because by lack of fish, lack of fish, so it's just cooked. It's permissible to put on top of the pot of chicken soup on Shabbos afternoon. Is that clear? This is the answer that's given by the Bir Halacha, according to the Kriya Magad. It's how we assume Halacha Lamayis. It's how we assume. Oh. But Yehuda say, I'd like you to one more time. Very good. It's not the way to cook. Because you're not, it's more than just not the way to cook. If I cook in a funny way, I'll put the pie upside down. But the other thing is not the way to cook. You can't do anything which is just funny. It's an indirect kind of cooking. Because I'm cooking the chicken soup, and the chicken soup is raising steam and is heat, and that in turn heats up the kugel. And if you, a guy will walk into the house and see a pot full of chicken soup with some kugel on top, his first reaction to cooking chicken soup. And the kugel is sort of an appendage, an afterthought. Why am I saying that? Because for this reason, I'm opposed to what they call today the today reblach. Anyone know what today reblach is? It's a blech. It has water in it. So somebody took this bialacha. I was very smart. They said the bialacha makes a distinction between a kedera reikonis, an empty pan, and a full pot. So I'll take two pieces of metal. And between the two pieces of metal, I will draw some water, so that there's now water there, it's not empty. If it's not empty, she removed it according to the understanding of the girl. I disagree. It seems to me that water, you're not cooking that. No one's going to think of cooking that water. That water goes into the sink if the Shabbos is over. It's empty it out. That water's not being used at all. That water's just being put there to create a circumstance that to be considered full pot as opposed to an empty pan. It doesn't work. The trick that doesn't work in my opinion. I don't like this kedera blech. But I'm saying I'm using Yehuda's word to explain why I didn't like the kedera blech. Because it's only if you have something in the lower pot of your cooking which you're consuming, if it's chicken soup or shawls or whatever it happens to be, then you put it on top of that considered secondary. It's not considered near the blech, as opposed to this kind of a kedera blech. Okay? Yes, Yehuda. Good. Doesn't make a difference. If you did a pot of water on the fire, and you know, people, most of who looks into the pot's already covered. Right? People just see a pot on the fire. The full pot on the fire, people probably would assume it's the most delicious chicken soup. Why don't I smell it? I guess I have a cold. I can't smell it. The aroma of the other chicken soup. But they won't know that it's just plain water. They won't know that the water's going to be spilled out. Maybe it won't be spilled out. Maybe you'll use it. Who knows what? In any event, if it's a pot full on the fire, I would say it's okay. The kedera blech, I would not endorse. That's my view on the matter for the reason I'm giving you now. It's not just a blow timer. I'm giving you the reason. Okay. So now, listen to what emerges. They're both sides. What is more lenient here? Let's repeat. What is more lenient here? Is more lenient the inverted pan, or aka crooked blech, right? Is that more lenient? Or is more lenient the pot full of chicken soup? Which is more lenient, which is more strict?
It's more lenient.
The pot is more lenient because you can take from the fridge and put on top of the pot on Shabbos, right? But the pan is more strict. You may not put something from the fridge on top of the pan on Shabbos. Is that clear? Now we have to learn to enrage Nun Ches. I'm not finished, I'm coming back. Let's also on our syllabus. Enrage Nun Ches, but a little bit out of order here. Mechaba says, Mutar l'haniach b'bal yom kli sheyesh bo tzavakah agav b'kedei rechama she'ein ze ketorin b'davar amos etevel. Talk about Hatzmanos, we'll get to later on. You'll have to put something on top of a pot full of chicken soup on your Thursday on Friday. It's not considered Hatzmanos. No good. So it's not considered to be Hatzmanos. You take a look at the beer halakha. He says as follows. The first beer halakha. The first beer halakha. He says if it's not covered with blankets, so yesh lo zeh din shiyui, what we call shiyah, the tzarech shiyah adavar kar nizbashel kamachal ben drusar nibod yom, l'dad tarav, that means the Ramah, resh lo gimel. If you put something on top of a pot full of cholent, it has to be cooked kamachal ben drusar before Shabbat, so that he quotes, Mogad Avram and Prima God. Here, this is a Pella Otsum. This Yalacha is, we don't understand it at first because it's very hard to fathom what he's driving at. We're talking about someone putting something on a fire from before Shabbat. Correct? We already learned in Reish and Gimel that if a person puts something on a blech before Shabbat, even though it's not half cooked, it's permissible. I told you, the problem of Shia is easily overcome with a blech. Here we are learning that if there was no blech, but you put it on top of a pot full of chicken soup, and it was not machal ben drusoi, you put it there on Friday afternoon, it is prohibited. Wait, so what emerges now? What's more strict? The pot full of soup or the pan? What do you say now? What's more strict? The pot is more strict, the pan is more lenient. We learned 5 minutes ago. The reverse. How do you reconcile these two? They're both in Bialoka, both in Prima Gorda. There's an out and out contradiction. How do you get out of this problem? So perhaps the answer is as follows. It all depends what the reason for the prohibition is. If the reason for the prohibition is Nirikim of Ashel, then the pot is more lenient than the pan. As we mentioned before, if a pot full of chicken soup, it's not Nirikim of Ashel, there's a piece of kugel on the very top of it. And therefore the pot is permissible and the pan is prohibited. But Shehiyah, why is Shehiyah prohibited? Why? Why? We said before, why? Why? Shemi Echata Bigacholim. Here is the reverse. When it comes to the problem of Shemi Echata Bigacholim, you need something unusual. A pot full of chicken soup on the fire is not unusual at all. Having the pot on the fire is not going to stop you in any way from stoking the coals. You don't need the pot to stoke the coals, or you'll move the pot to stoke the coals. It's not something unusual, which is going to remind you that it's Shabbat and it's in prohibition. So when it comes to Shem Yechad and Megacholim, the Bialoch of Pasim Generation of Ches, the pan or the blech is to make it permissible to leave it on there before Shabbat, but the pot full of soup does not make it permissible. So what do we therefore see? So when it comes to Shem Yechata Begacholim, the idea of the full pot of fire doesn't accomplish much. With me? Oh. For this reason, Rabbi, I have to tell you the truth, I'm not a major fan of the entire Hesed of the Shulchan Aruch of Kedera Agave Kedera. Why not? The Shulchan Aruch is Mutar. Why should I start up with the Shulchan Aruch? Why should I pay Mutar? So first of all, this is off the syllabus. In Shin Yud Ches, there's 2 days in the Mechaber. Is it Mutar or is it off? 2 days. Moreover, my claim is that according to the Ramah, it really should be off. Why? Because in my view, the Ramah is of the opinion that the reason for the Easter of Hafzara is not Nirek and Mavashel, which is the opinion of the Mechaber, but rather Shema Yechata Begachol. Shema Yechata Begachol. I'll prove it to you soon. That's the reason Shem Yechata Begachol, but the good cemetery from Reish and Ches, having it on a pot full of chicken soup doesn't help. The pot full of chicken soup helps if it's a question of Nirek and Mavashel, not if it's a question of Shem Yechata Begachol. So they have to put on a kugel and putting it on a pot full of chicken soup on a Shabbos morning would potentially involve a situation of Shemi Echad Begacholim and would be likely to be prohibited unless you put the pot full of chicken soup on the blech. If you have a pot full of chicken soup on the blech, so then I think it would be permissible to take the kugel from the fridge and put it on top. You know why? If you worry about Shemi Echad Begacholim, what's the care of that? The blech. If you worry about Nirek and Mavash, what's the care of that? The pot. So you took care of it in stages, it's both. Then I think it's okay. Yes?
Well,
that's a problem. But Barnes, the front of the left is not really a left, it's just a covering of the handles. Right. That will take care of Shemi Echata. As Rabbi Shimon Einer writes in his safe, a beautiful safe, he has on the official Mishabbos, that would only take care of the Shemi Echata aspect. It would not take care of the Nurek and Bavashel aspect. Now, your suggestion is for that we should use the pot full. Perhaps that'll be okay. Perhaps. But again, once again, we generally speaking follow our Moshe's view of this matter. Okay. Now I'm going to try to demonstrate to you that the Ramah's view, in fact, is that the reason for the Yitzhak HaZor on an open fire is Shem Yechat HaBigachol. Let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch HaSim and Reish Nun Gimel. In Siv Beis, the Ramah discusses at some length the nature of the Yitzhak of Hachzorah. And he has something which is quite remarkable. He says, Yesh Omrim, the call shu Samach L'chashecha, Samach Kolkach, Shem Nitzanin HaKadeira, Hi Eshel Archicha Mibol Yom, Hinoch Kamal B'Shabbos Atzmo. And although the Minigas to be Mekel, Tov L'hachkarim L'mokam She'en Torah Kolkach. What's he saying? The Ramah says, it's based on the posters in Daf Lamed Vav in the Sefer Shabbos, that the Yitzhak of Achzara exists in Erev Shabbos. Not Friday morning, that's called Shira, but prior, late in the afternoon, but it's not enough time to have it to heat up by itself, so we're afraid you're going to soak the coals. Ah, you gave it away. But the only way to prohibit the pastors, the Yitzhak of Achzara, on Friday afternoon, is because you're afraid you're going to soak the coals on Shabbos. Don't put it on the fire late Friday afternoon because they're going to soak the coals on Shabbos to get it to warm up more quickly. However, as Iran points out, if the Easter of Achzorah is because Nirek and Mavash, it looks like cooking, well, guess what? Friday afternoon, you're allowed to cook. So how can you put it with something which looks like cooking? You're allowed to actually cook on Friday afternoon. So therefore, the fact that there are more discusses back and forth so much, the prohibition of Achzorah and Erev Shabbos before it gets dark, indicates, at least to me, that the Ramah is accepting, is embracing the view that the Easter of Achzorah is because of Shema Yechata Begacholim. It makes sense. The Ramah is Mechach Ashkenaz, that the Rabbi Tam said, the Baal Yatol seems to go this way. That's their view. It's opposed to the Mechach, that follows Iran, and the others with the Rambam class, that hold it because of Nira Shemavash. So that's the case to understand fully well why I'm not such a big fan of the Heter of Kedera Agabe Kedera. Because in my opinion, whether it's correct or not depends upon whether the Yitzhak of Achzorah is because of Nirek and Mavashel, and then it's Mutzah, the Mechaba, and Iran, or because of Shem Yechata, which should be prohibited as we learn in Reish and Ches. So that's why I don't like it too much. Unless you have a blech as well. If a blech as well, then we generally presume that the once you have a blech, the only reason for Hanachal HaChachila would be Nirek and Mavashel, that once the blech is no Shem Yechata, that's what we assume against minority view, and therefore the combination of the black and the pot of the chicken soup should do the trick. Okay? Proof number two. There are more rights in Simon Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Hei. So whatever you can't do on Shabbos because of the halachas of Shia and Achzara, you cannot ask a goy to do it for you. Can't ask a goy to do it for you? וכל הדברים שעושו לעשו מדבר המילו עושו לא מלאין יהודי לעשות You can't tell the guy to do it for you. So the Bir Alapa discusses the question, wait a minute. But after the principle of Shrus to Shrus, the Mako Mitzvah. You rather tell a guy to do Easter Abanan for the purpose of a mitzvah. What greater mitzvah than eating hot chokes? And there's a greater, bigger mitzvah. Shabbos, a big mitzvah. So why can't you tell a guy to do some of these prohibited actions because the shvus is not the mitzvah? He quotes someone's fact that it's permissible. Why did Ramah say that it's absolutely prohibited? So I believe the answer is that shvus to shvus the makom mitzvah only applies to what we call a malacha de rabbanon. A malacha which is prohibited rabbinically, we then can turn around and say that if a guy does a few for a mitzvah, it's all right. But the Chazal made a gzeira. What does a gzeira mean? Don't do this lest you do that. Don't do A lest you do B. Then you're not allowed to have the guy do A for you. You know why? Because if the guy does A for you, we're afraid, who's going to do B? Not the guy, the Jew. We're afraid the guy will put the pot on the fire just before Shabbos, and the guy goes home. And then an hour later, come on, no, heat up, no. Who's going to stop the cold? The guy's not even there, I'm going to do it. And we have a rule. If it's a gzeira, you don't do this unless you do that. The guy can't do the this, because then you may do the that. That's the chap in this Ramah who adopts a stricter view. Of course, according to my understanding, we may have a bit of a cooler, which I'm not saying we should do this like a chila, but it would justify some of the things that go on in certain homes and certain caterers, which at first glance is really problematic. Namely, have a guy take food out of the dry food out of the refrigerator on Shabbos and put it on top of a blech. The first says it should certainly go be also because the Ramah says whatever you can't do, the guy can't do. But according to our understanding, if it's a Shabbat Chak, not that you should do this every week. No, you should get yourself some kind of a device that you can remain hot all Shabbos, or some kind of other device that you're supposed to return it to. We'll catch that in a few minutes. But the Shabbat Chak could be a tzmutz because the Shuas to Shuas is not a mitzvah. Because like we explained before, once it's a covered flame, we said the consensus view is there's no Shema Yechata B'Gacholam. It's only Nirek and Mevasha, which is the Rabbanon, and Shvus to Shvus to Rav HaMitzvah, Meri Mutter, again, the Bishat HaTzorah, but not HaChatzchil. Okay. How is a good Jewish home supposed to heat up food, cold, dry food on Shabbat? So I just say that I don't like any of these coolers. Well, I do. I gave you one break already. You have a pot full of chicken soup on top of a black. But who has? Who has a pot full of chicken soup on Shabbat afternoon? Almost unheard of. Cholent? Okay, in the good old days, when people put the pot full of cholent on the pot on top of a black on Shabbat afternoon, that would have been a trick. Like the cook will put it on top of the cholent. That's true. But today, everyone has got a different gizmo, no? Crock pots and slow cookers and all other things. If you stop using normal pots of cholent on top of normal blocks, because you don't see it anymore these days. So now you're stuck again. So one eta, it doesn't work that well, but it helps a little bit, is that we now, everything's changed. We no longer have the good old Chinik. It's the hack, right? That was a kettle. I remember when I grew up that we had a kettle of water every Shabbos in the Blech, and we made sure before Shabbos that it would whistle. So it would whistle before Shabbos. That indicated it was fully cooked, and then it would be time to slide it off and slide it back. We'll get to those details later. That's the meat, the Rish and Gimel. We'll get to that. So, but the deed everybody's in an urn. You don't see kettles anymore. That wasn't there. Oh, so the good news is, in my view, it's permissible to put a piece of kugel on top of the urn. Why? Here we go. Kedera gabe kedera. But I was a bit of an opponent to kedera gabe kedera of Shemi Chata Begacholim. But the urns are not adjustable. There's no adjustment. Most of the urns are just on or off. So therefore, it's permissible, in my opinion, to put the kugel on top of the urn. I don't know how hot it gets on top of the urn, but it's a little hot. What about if you want to get a little bit hotter? So I think you should buy yourself a plata. They call it in Arizona a plata chashmalit, a chillin plata. Plata means a place. But we call it a warmer. We call it a warming tray, as we call it. A non-adjustable source. Non-adjustable. It's not adjustable, so in my opinion, it goes against some of the standards, but I still think I'm right, that if you have a non-adjustable warming tray, it's permissible because neither reason for prohibition exists. There's no shemi echad because they can't adjust it. There's no difference in the vash because nobody normally, most people, almost nobody will ever cook on such a tray. It's possible. If you want, you do it, but it's almost never done. It's almost never done. There's no nirek mevashim. So you have a non-adjustable warming tray. You're allowed to put cold kugel or cold chicken on that warming tray, and it gets very hot. It gets very, very hot. Even if it's hot, you have to let it warm. It's still permissible because the reasons for the prohibition do not exist. If you have already, you bought yourself an adjustable warming tray, you have two choices. Break it. That means break the adjustment. You know, set it on whatever adjustment you want, high, let's say, and then just break it. And then this way it became non-adjustable. Okay, it's now non-adjustable. I don't think taking the button off will work because you put the button back on again. First of all, you can always turn it without the button. It's a little harder. Tape it over. I don't think it would help. It's close to our barn. But carrots. Cover the tray. If you cover the tray with tinfoil, so then if you cover the tray and cover the button too, why not? I'm not much of another inch of tinfoil. So you cover the tray, so we said that's what we cover it. It's not normally covered. So then there's no shemi chazan bigger cholin. And if it's not usually used for cooking, there's no nirek lavash. My only slight problem is that if I cover my normal range, my electric range or my gas range, I use 7 days a week. And 6 days a week it's exposed. And the seventh day it's covered. It's a heker, something which is I'm not going to soak the cold over this. I have a heker which Chazal requires. But if I have a warming chair, which I only use on Shabbos, I never use it during the week. And on Shabbos it comes in the same tinfoil, leave it there from week to week to week to week. So it's what kind of heker? It's not a heker anymore. That's my fear with this stock is accurate or not. So it's better to get a non adjustable one or break the adjustment. Yes. I hope you're right, but it doesn't make a difference. If it's a Xeris Chazal, if it fits into the categories of Chazal, we have no right to be lenient. If it doesn't fit into the categories of Chazal, we have every right to be lenient. It's all categorization, that's what it's all about. What's the lumbus, what's the definition of these things according to the Xeris Chazal? All right. Good. We're going to go back to Reish and Gimel and see some other very important halachos. There's a hefker in Shulchan Aruch, Reish and Gimel, which I don't recommend at all, called Kedera Chaisa. But if you put the raw piece of meat into the pot just before Shabbos, it's going to take so long to cook this raw piece of meat, so therefore it's not there itself and not for the rest of the pot, it's kind of a hefker. But Henkin, Zahra Rice said, in America today, with our very sophisticated cooking system, this doesn't work. He doesn't like the heter at all, Kedera Chaisa. And so I don't recommend it either. Just for bringing it to your attention. Okay. Number two. There's a heter called Snicha. Snicha 1, Snicha 2. Snicha says, Mutta Lismo, Kedera Besama Chutala. If I have a situation in the olden days, a thing called a kira. What is a kira? A kira means it had a box. And you would put the pot on top of the box. Agave kira. That's how they used to heat things up. Agave kira. What does samachla mean? On the outside of the wall. It was a box which had four walls and you put it on the outside of the wall. It's mutter to do smicha before Shabbos because there's no shemi echad b'bigger kolim with respect to smicha. That's unlikely. It's going to soak the cold here. It's not going to help much if the pot on the other side of the wall. They never made a gzeira in this circumstance. question, okay? Fine. Then the Mechaber goes to some length into what we call B'diyeved. Many of you may go into people's houses on Shabbos and see that they're not doing what I said you should do. Now what? May you eat the food. May you eat the hot food on Shabbos. So Shachat, Mishah, which can exist, I don't know. It's hard. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it hardly exists. But most people have a blech. If you have a blech, we said before, it's not considered to be in the category of Shah. But it can exist. There's certain prohibitions, B'diyeved. Certain prohibitions, B'diyeved. But here's the more important thing. Then have Zirum, but if there was a case where it was put back illicitly on the fire, on an open fire, on Shabbos, even if it was done by a guy, it still has a problem. Dino kishachach b'shoha, and therefore there's certain cases with us, a certain case with Musa. Here's the punchline. Then if Zero Yisrael, Dino to Avar b'shoha. If a Jew put it back on an open fire, even if it's a shogeg, he's treated as Avar b'shoha b'mezid, and it's going to be usher if it's mitstamek b'yopala. If it's going to be, it gets better when you put it on the fire, it's prohibited. And why are you mapping war by Hazara and Mashiach? Should the Ka'ovid Meister? Because you did something. You did something. So this is a very serious problem. Quote the Mogan Avraham, who says, it's Sifkat Mamanei and Mishabura, to Lacherim Shari Mazeh, that to other people it would be permissible, because it was fully cooked before Shabbos, Vahoya Shogeg, and he doesn't know. This is at least something to rely upon, perhaps, if somebody put something on a fire in a way which we would say which should not be done, so maybe he shouldn't be eating it, but he's not eating it in Shabbos. Well, you're not eating it again. The court of this Mishnah Berurah, perhaps it's allowed, the court of the Magen Avraham, because you're a guest, it's a cherim, and he's a shogeg, he thinks it's permissible. So, b'diyeved, if you go to someone's house and he's heating something up in a way which you would think would not be allowed, but b'diyeved, there are certain leniencies. Certain leniencies. Okay. Fine. Then the Mechaber has his famous chumra that if the pot touches the fire, it's hatmana. Even if it's not encircled, not enclosed. The Ramah has his famous kula. It calls Machi Magula Lamala La Mikriat Mana Vishari Vikana Mini. As long as it's exposed on top, it's not called Atmana, it's what the learning on top. What does on top mean? So Atmana is on top, should be taken literally. If it's not covered on top, there's no Atmana. Therefore, there's no problem of Atmana when it comes to a Karat top. Because there's no level of covering on top apart from the top cover itself. So even though on the outside, we're talking about a two-piece kasher. On the outside, what happens? You have a, everyone knows this, no? Everyone knows what I'm talking about? You have a, just a plain regular pot, and you put it, and it fits very snugly into a surrounding area, which is hot. So it should really be considered hot tomorrow, it should be prohibited. The Rav Moshe says, no. Because on the top, it's exposed, so there's no prohibition. That's called Magula Lamala. When the Zalma, the Chlon, the Rav says, no. He thinks, this is the same as last Shulam Shlomo Zalman wrote, that it depends upon the majority. Right? The Mechaber asked that even if the bottom is touching the coals, even if it's the majority, is uncovered. The Ramah disagreed and said if the majority is uncovered, it's not considered to be Hatmana. If the majority is covered, even though the top is exposed, it still would be Hatmana according to the Ramah, said the Shlomo Zalman, and therefore two-piece crockpots are prohibited. Because of Hatmana. So how do you get out of this problem? Well, Hatmana is only if it's a snug fit. How do you make it a snug fit? And of course, in the pumpkin, you put some stones or some marbles on the bottom of the cavity, and therefore when you put the pot in, it is elevated somewhat from the floor of the pot, and since the pot and the encircling area are both papered, they're not exactly straight down. They get a little bit wider on top, so you can lift everything up in a half an inch. So it's not snug. It doesn't touch on the bottom. It won't touch on any of the sides. It's going to go off a little bit each time. At any point, it's supposed to be this wide, but it's a little narrower. That's what the postman says is the eta if you have the two-piece crock-pot. Better than that, what's to play with marbles and stones and to get what they call these slow cookers. So we have a slow cooker. Means it's flat. It's not only you take a piece, it's a beautiful rectangular pot. You put it on the slow cooker, and it makes delicious chowns. I have some witnesses here in the room. It makes delicious chowns, and there's no problem of hatmana whatsoever. Now, so now this can be done one of two ways. If you wish, you can cover the other mile of this, you can cover with tinfoil. It's very complicated to cover a two-piece crockpot. You have to take it and make a whole big, humongous thing, and then line this pot this way and stick out from the sides to the nika. It's not so glass. You have a slow cooker, which is flat. Take some tinfoil, put it across the slow cooker. That would make it called goruf ve-kotum. It would be covered. And if it's covered, being a covered flame, would be permissible to take the pot off, raise the shon sinai, and then put it back on the piece of tinfoil to have the remainder of the shon, whatever's left, for Shabbos lunch. That would be a permissible thing to do. When it comes to a regular two-piece crockpot, in my opinion, it's prohibited even if you have tinfoil. Why? Because Hachzara is only mutter, the Shulchan Aruch says, al gabe hakira, on the top of, like, the top of a box, the top of the slow cooker, not the toch hakira. You can't put it in the box. Hachzara is also, period. And that's exactly what the crockpot is, the two-piece. You're putting it in the box, surrounded on all sides. So I'm not a fan of the two-piece car. You gain nothing, you lose everything. What about one-piece, the old traditional one-piece that we got for a wedding present? The one-piece, it didn't exist then. Some kind of present we got once, which we used until it broke. So one-piece crock, but it's not hatmana because it's just a thick wall. There's a wall and the pot is one. It's not separate, we can't call that hatmana. Every pot is. And then some insulation. There is a problem, though, in the one-piece crockpot, and that you want to dish out the food on Shabbat. It's not Reish and Gimel. It's mentioned a little bit here, but primarily in Shinyan Tess, the Chumra, which we don't fully understand, which prohibits Hadgosa. That's supposed to stir something while it's on the fire. Why not? It's already fully cooked. Some kind of Chumra. And if it's Chumra, Al-Gabri Chumra, there are those who maintain you shouldn't even dish something out of a pot on the fire because it looks like agosa, and agosa looks like something, and look. But that is a problem. But the poskim agree, the Shmir Shabbat says, the Mishnah Berurah, that if it's a Mokum Torah, it's a whole Yisra agosa we don't fully understand, so it's permissible to dish out from a pot which is on the fire the Torah of Shabbat. So you have a one-piece crockpot, that's what you do. You take a spoon, you take the child out of the one-piece crockpot, and you put it into the bowl and serve it, and then everyone should enjoy it. The same thing could be done with the slow cooker, right? If you decide you don't want to cover the slow cooker for whatever reason, so you can just take things and take a spoon and pull it out of the slow cooker, serve it. But of course, if there's no covering, once you pull the slow cooker off, you can't leave the pot off. You can't put it back because it would be hakzara. Kiwisha and a group of two. Yes, sir. No, not at all. A different kirchhoff. Mizruch Mimaira. The slow cooker is meant for cooking. The plata is only meant for reheating. Is there a physical difference? I mean, certainly, this is made to cook. They give you a pot to cook in, and they tell you the instructions how to cook it. Whereas the other thing is called a warmer. Can you reheat in a slow cooker, and can you cook in a woman's plate? Probably both are physically possible. It's not meant for that. I guess what's meant for is really the difference. Okay? You would turn the cover. That's in general, good question. If a person has any kind of shalom, whatever it be it that the old traditional pot of shalom on the fire, on the blech, or the one piece crock pot, two piece crock pot, slow cooker, whatever it may be, may you raise the shalom and then put the cover back on again. Now, the person, for all children raiders, listen very carefully. You're not allowed to raise the shalom unless you're sure that it's fully cooked. I'm not an expert in shalom. Still not a raving shalom. But there are some experts here. But you're not supposed to do this until you're sure that it's fully cooked. For a simple reason. Because if it's not fully cooked yet, then number one, you certainly shouldn't be stirring it. Dishing out, maybe we can make a lot. But certainly you can't cover it. By covering it, you're going to reach the point of Mavusha Kol Tocha more quickly. And therefore be prohibited. So you have to be very careful to make certain that the shalom is fully cooked before you raise. Mostly by midnight. By midnight, it's already usually super fully cooked. But if you put it on just before Shabbat, especially in the summertime, that could be 8 o'clock, there's no way to raise the shalom. Because it's, let's get from 4 in the morning. It's already lost the shachar, you can't hear it. But if you want to raise the shalom, then the shalom has to make sure that it's on much earlier. In the wintertime, again, I don't know how many hours it takes for the shalom to become fully cooked. I can't answer the question. I don't know. It depends what's in it and how it's made and how high the fire is. But make sure that you don't make a mistake. A mistake would be a serious prohibition. To water on the lid, condensation. That's a good question. A lot of these things have water gathers on the pot. That's an issue. It's a problem of it's a double problem. The problem of bishul, which is the most serious problem, because many folks say yesh bishul ha bishul, the double ah. It's also, I guess, somewhat of a problem of hafazara too, because if you put the cover down on the counter, and you put it back on again. I guess the way out of that, to avoid any problems, is just to dry the cover completely before you put it back on again. Take it off really fast. Yeah? Oh, yeah? Okay, so this is not only for raiders, this is even Shabbat morning. Wow. Alright, so there's a triad, a little bit of skill. When you remove the cover of these various shalom, this is truly going to be all traditional shalom pot. I guess water got, even the soup pot probably. Water's always, huh?
Then still, or even cooked, then still
after. Right, I would guess, really, if it's cooled and right away, it's probably still very hot. They're not really approved. That's a serious prohibition. Bishul is not because it's very boiling hot. Which some of this, well, that hafzara. Well, for a few drops down there, it makes such a grave. I don't know. Okay. Okay. Sif base. Sif base. If you have we mentioned before, Kira group of Tuma, according to the Mechaber, you can return it as long as it wasn't on the floor, and the refrigerator is like the floor. According to the Ramah, you have to have two additional criteria. Oda biyodo, to still be in your hand, and we are makil, even if it's on the counter, as long as you hold on, although that would agree to that kula. And you also require data lahavzi. You require the intention to have it returned to the fire. If there's no intention to return it, it is prohibited. That's what it says. As I said mentioned before, Dafta Gaba, Ava Latocha, that's why the two piece crack pot is also because it's Latocha. Okay, this is Siv Beis. In addition, you require what's called Mavushal Kol Tzarko. Has to be fully cooked, otherwise, it's not because it's Bishal. In addition, you also need Lo Nitzane. It's still hot. It's still hot. It has to be hot. And the big question is, why? What is the nature of this requirement that the food be hot? Here's the Duma Klobus between the Vilna Gaon and the Magen Avraham. According to the Vilna Gaon, the food has to be hot. We're talking only about liquid. It has to be hot because otherwise it's the problem of bishul. Because we assume the Yesh Bishul HaBishul B'Dalolach if it's liquid. And if according to the Vilna Gaon, if it's solid, it doesn't have to be hot. According to the Mogen Avraham, no. If it cooled off completely, even if it's solid, we apply the principle we mentioned earlier of Batla Shehir Rishona. Just like La Halacha, we put it on the floor, or if we didn't have in mind to return it, we say Batla Shehir Rishona. So too, if we put it on the, if we didn't put it on the floor, even if we held it in our hand, we held it in our hand for an hour, and it's got room temperature, once again we apply the principle of Batla Shehir Rishona. That's going to come up in a minute in a very serious situation. Here the Ramah quotes the famous Hefter of the Ran, world famous Hefter. I'm going to read it to you verbatim because it's so controversial. The Yesh Omer, that this old prohibition of Bat Lashir Rishona is only Shenetalo Min Akira Mibod Yom Lo Zero Ad Shechashet. I took it off the fire on Friday and put it back on Shabbos. I took it off the fire on Shabbos. Afilu iniko agabe karka muta. Who said so? Ran. This is the head of the Ran. The Ran based it on a Yerushalmi. According to the Chazon Ish, he based it on a incorrect version of the Yerushalmi. Either a wrong reading or a wrong text of the Yerushalmi. The Ran has a famous din. The only say brought the Shahir Rishona and took it off before Shabbos. And now Shabbos comes in, I want to put it back. Ah! But you did the fourth history, ancient history. Now you're starting from scratch. I took it off on Friday night at 10 o'clock, or Friday night, now in the winter time, Friday night even at 6 o'clock. And I put it back Shabbos morning at 11 o'clock. So we don't view the events of last night as ancient history. It was on Shabbos. So therefore, even though we put it on the floor, it would be permissible. Says the Ramah about this, that there's a minig, there is a minig like this, people rely on the Mechilim, but v'tov lahachmir, it's proper to be strict, because harbe poskim chokim al Aran, and others say the Aran never meant it, and the Chazon is a mistake. Okay, fine. However, the Aran minig, even if it's a mistake, but still it's a minig which is followed by many Jews, the Ramah quotes it, and quotes the minig was to follow it, even though he shouldn't follow it. But then, one can extend the Ran to the following case. What if I take chicken? I leave it on the blech until 6 o'clock. I took 6 p.m. Take it off the service Friday night for supper. And I have to half the plate of chicken, half the plate of cookies left. I put it in the refrigerator. Because if I don't, it's going to get spoiled overnight. I put it in the refrigerator. And then, Shabbos morning, it's 11 o'clock. I put it back on the blech. What do you say? Is that also the mutter according to the Ran? Depends what we said before. If the Mogen Avraham, well, maybe. If the Mogen Avraham is right, it's very possibly for him, but even according to the Ran. Why? Because if it's cold, then perhaps the Ran would agree in this case of Bat Lashir Rishon. If you follow the Gra, and it happens to be solid, not a liquid, there's grounds to be made. So therefore, those individuals who follow this kula, you can't throw stones at them as El Shabbos. But it's not the ideal. Not the ideal. I have to tell you that a similar distinction between solid and liquid for a completely different reason is accepted by Rabbi Avadia Yosef. So Sardin, it's an irony. This kula is only not found in the middle of the Rabbi Yosef Kara disagreed with it vehemently. Didn't like it at all. There are more quotes, Ashkenazim. But Sardin have a different cooler. Rabbi Avadia Sefer, Sardin, he thinks that if it was, as long as it's placed on a solid, which is placed on a blech, would be permissible. Because he calls a different parrot to reconcile the steer between Siv Gimel and Siv Hei, which we mentioned earlier. We said the difference between a full pot and an empty pan. He has a different difference between solids and liquids. And that difference is found in a Machtis HaShekel, which is a common, super commentary to the Mogen Avraham that's been mentioned in the test. So Sir Rabbi Avadia latches on to that distinction, and he says, oh, if that's the case, if it's a solid, I can put it on not only a full pot, but even an empty pan. And he goes, he accepts the Rav's equation, that an empty pan is a crooked bluff. Oh, let's put it on a bluff too. Let's put it on a bluff. I got this to Gemara to this author. The Gemara says that if you put it down, the Bat Lashir Rishona, and you're not permitted to put it on top of a Kira, roof of Ketuma, Ketuma is covered, so how can a Bavadja say, go against the Mefurash Gemara? He says, well, apparently in the time of the Gemara, some people cook even on top of an Eish Ksuba. But nowadays, he claims, no one would cook on top of an inverted pan or on top of a blech. Nope. So here we have this strange coming together of forces. If you follow the Vajra, who's learning this pshat in the Mechaber and Shinyut Ches, so you have a smachot. Not the Mechaber himself rejects that, by the way. The Minhag Ashkenaz wouldn't follow this distinction. If you follow the Minhag of the Ran, which Rav Soloveitchik, the Gemara Bracha, permitted in his time, so that's another reason to be maker. But if you follow what we'll call the mainstream, which mainstream Ashkenaz, which says that the Mavadi's shot is a very nice shot within the Mechaber, will work for us. And we follow the Mishnah Berurah's distinction, which is in a full and empty pot. And if you reject the Ran on the grounds that's either a mistake, as the Chazanish says, or Tov La'achmer, as the Ramah says, he shouldn't be doing these things. But again, those who do it, do it. You shouldn't wait until Chemes Mitzvah. People talk about my father does it, my mother does it, your father does it, your mother does it. Let it be. Don't make a war about it. Mitzvah, when you get married, you establish your own home. So for $20, you buy a be a sport, buy yourself a one-time investment of a warmer, which is not adjustable. Shalom Yisroel. What do you need all this for? That's what I think. Okay, let's go on. Yes, this is an it now. This is an it. This is the Yiddish Chokhmah of Europe, huh? Non-adjustable. Yeah. Non-adjustable. You can put it on even if it was not on there Friday night. Yeah, non-adjustable warming plate. I think it's permissible. It was frozen 2 weeks ago. I said before. Okay. Look at this now, this trick. Ooh. We said before, whatever you can't do yourself, you can't ask the guy to do.